Welcome to the second Green Roads podcast, brought to you by Green Roads Foundation. My name is Geralee Anderson. I am the executive director of Green Roads Foundation. So today I have with me a special guest, Freeman Anthony, who is a project engineer at the City of Bellingham. And today we're going to talk a little bit about Bellingham's experience with Green Roads and how this agency is using the rating system to make some better streets at their own city. So a little bit more about Freeman Anthony. I'll let him talk to you a little bit more about his own background in a couple of minutes. But he's got 7 years of experience with the City of Bellingham. And prior to that, he had worked for about 8 years in private practice. He is a member of the APWA National Transportation Committee and has a degree from Northeastern University. So with that, we'll get started. Welcome to Fritz.
Thank you very much. Very nice to be here today and to share my experiences that I've had with Green Roads throughout the years as Green Roads has gone from an idea to industry practice all over the place.
So let's tell everybody a little bit about your background. So what is your position with the city and what types of work do you do?
I am a project engineer with the City of Bellingham Capital. So we have a few engineers here that do development work, and then there's four of us that do all the capital projects for public works. That includes your water and your sewer, your stormwater and street projects, illumination, even traffic control. Pretty similar, I think, to a lot of agency public works departments out there, both large and small. Rural and urban. Larger cities, you might see many more engineers. But the nice thing about City of Bellingham's sized public works department is that we have the opportunity to get into a little of everything.
Can I back up for a little bit?
Sure.
So I'm just kind of curious if you wanted to give us a size of, you know, what's the size of Bellingham? Where is it located compared to some other familiar cities perhaps in the area?
Sure. I would love to do that. Bellingham is more or less halfway between Seattle and Vancouver, so it is a stopover for some folks. It's about 80,000, 85,000 people within the city limits. Our utility service area covers a little over 100,000 people. It's the county seat of Whatcom County and is basically the largest town between the northern borders of Seattle and Vancouver. We're about 20 miles from the Canadian border.
So Fritz, why don't you tell me a little bit about your Capital Street program?
Well, it's not really my Capital Street program. It's the City of Bellingham's Capital Street program. However, we do have a capital program. Public Works overall does probably 10 to 12 million a year in overall public works projects, infrastructure. About half of that is street-related projects, predominantly urban corridor enhancements and rebuilds, street overlays, sidewalk projects, lighting projects. So a good variety of projects, but again, very standard fare for most public works agencies out there, especially in an urban area. So it takes about four of us to move that $12 million a year. And like I said, about half of that is road.
Great. So what types of road projects do you mostly do? Is the budget of $12 million, of which half is mostly roads, is that preservation type work, new construction, reconstruction? What types of road projects are we talking about?
Excellent question. We use that $6 million in a variety of ways. We have yearly programs that are always there. Your overlay program is probably your most substantial. That's generally between $1.5 million to $2 million. We have an ongoing sidewalk replacement project that's somewhere between $200,000 and $500,000, plus or minus. It can vary. Some of those sidewalk replacements are for serviceability. Others are for meeting ADA requirements. The overlays are both preservation and just increasing levels of service. The rest of it is generally new corridor improvements. So this is when you have a need for both, perhaps new facilities. So you need to widen your existing roadways for traffic. You need to add bike lanes. You want to add sidewalk illumination. And it's certainly easy to start with a single water main project. And before you know it, you're tearing up the entire roadway. Or maybe just a simple project to add bike lanes becomes a stormwater project as well. So it's not uncommon to have a bit of scope creep, but in an urban situation, you are dealing with all these aspects. So quite quickly, your scope gets pretty large.
Sure. And, you know, honestly, if we back up to how I met you and you got involved maybe early on in Green Roads, a lot of it had to do with stormwater management. Isn't that right?
That is correct. In Western Washington, stormwater drives a lot of what road improvements look like.
Why would that be?
Well, it certainly does rain a lot here, doesn't it?
Yes.
So
I think that's also because of impacts, right?
That's true. You are correct. You know, all of these urban areas being adjacent to Puget Sound and not on like the Chesapeake Bay and other areas where there's sensitive waters, basically federally protected waterways. One has quite a few regulations that would govern how one designs a road and subsequent stormwater management components.
What about air quality? Is that an issue for Bellingham?
Traditionally, the Bellingham area, and really, you know, Washington's, the western part of the North Cascades, has good air quality because of the just weather patterns that we have. We're not in the mountains where you get inversions so much.
Great. So do you want to talk a little bit about how you got engaged with Green Roads?
I would love to. I can't remember exactly how it happened, but I believe somewhere in there I saw a press release, I think it was around 2008, of that the University of Washington was working on a rating system for road projects. And I thought to myself, that's a great idea.
So how would you explain Green Roads in a couple of seconds, if you're only given 10 seconds?
Well, okay, so here we'll get the timer out, and ready, go. Green Roads is a comprehensive review and evaluation process for road projects that let you know where in your road project you can do better than the standard.
Now, you didn't necessarily know that going into it in 2008, right?
I didn't know what it was. I just knew that it was a great idea. I'd certainly had some exposure to LEED given my interest in sustainable development, but I didn't really have any background in architecture, minimal background in urban planning, so I could look at LEED. It sounded neat, but I didn't really know how to speak the language.
And LEED is Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design, which is the green building rating system that's very popular here in the U.S. and around the world.
That is correct. So I heard that there was this effort going on at UW. I contacted the professor, Stephen Mensch, who was involved, and basically scheduled an appointment with him. And when I was in Seattle, just found my way to his office and plopped myself down and said, hey, I am the public sector and I want this to work. So I want to be involved and help you guys make this palatable to the public sector. Because I'd heard discouraging things said about LEED. And whilst I understood those, I also knew that the same things would be said about Green Roads unless they had somebody with that knew how these things were perceived in the public sector and that I could do some good for them.
I believe, if I remember the story correctly, from what I have heard, if I could recall the moment, it was you showed up at Steve's office and plopped down a set of plans in front of him and said, I think this is a sustainable street. What do you think?
I was at the time doing my largest project that I'd done to date for the city, which was a very politically sensitive road improvement right next to the water supply for the city of Bellingham.
What's the name of the project?
Well, it was called North Shore Drive Improvements, and it was a typical corridor enhancement, as I've mentioned, where sidewalks were missing, stormwater infrastructure was lacking, and road surface quality was deteriorating. So you had a host of different items that needed to be taken care of in one holistic project.
Okay. So that ended up being one of our pilot projects. So how did it go?
It went great. I was already fairly through the design at that point. So I began the discussions about the pilot project whilst I was bidding the project, but it did allow me to begin understanding the items that I would need to collect, the data that Green Roads wanted to see while that project was going on. And I could keep track of everything from where we were putting porous concrete and what our approach to stormwater was. And so all those items, as the project was constructed, I began to keep track of what I was going to have to do in the future as I knew Green Roads was going to be massively successful. And I was going to have to do this again and again for more projects, just to show that we here in Bellingham were really trying to push the envelope as far as road construction.
So what made you think North Shore was a good candidate?
Well, because of the environmental concern about the project and its proximity to our drinking water, I mean, it was within a couple hundred feet of the lake shore for about a half mile, we needed to treat the stormwater to the highest extent possible. However, with a small footprint and not being interested in purchasing lakefront property for stormwater control, we selected the innovative approach of using porous concrete bike lanes with sand filters integrated into them. This was a low-cost, low-maintenance alternative to putting large subterranean vaults, which none of us here at the City of Bellingham think are very sustainable, no matter how long we've been in the game. So that was probably the real key part of the whole thing. We also recognized that we were in a residential area, even though it was arterial. So we looked at using reduced lighting standards such to avoid light pollution and sort of respect the neighborhood character. Items like that, Green Roads takes a look at. Green Roads likes to look at all of those components of a project. So the more I looked at the project, the more it seemed like a great fit. And at the end, we had a very happy public. We were able to use Green Roads to show the public that we were doing a good project.
So about Bellingham's, kind of you're hitting on a lot of different concerns that are in Green Roads, and I'm just kind of curious if you could talk a little bit about Bellingham's local policies and how this sort of fits in with local goals. If it sounds like Bellingham's kind of on board with the whole sustainability idea and maybe has some local standards or guidance available, how are you involved with that? What do you think?
It's an affluent community here in Bellingham, and people seem to have quite a bit of time to weigh in on how they think we ought to do our projects here in Public Works. And I'm certainly all for public involvement. But the honest part of it is, in these ages, we spend a lot of our time justifying our projects to the public, and they are not as trustworthy as we'd like to see them. So using Green Roads reinforced our commitment to sustainable road projects that we've already established along the way in mode shift goals. We've established environmentally preferable purchasing policies here at the city, and those types of policies really are supported by Green Roads, so it's been great to be able to take Green Roads to our elected officials and say, we are backing up what's important to the city by utilizing this particular system. And then what I could say is something like North Shore Drive Improvements Project, the design within that project represented something that even the local folks had never seen, and they were highly... They liked that we were taking the next step in a pretty progressive design direction because of the proximity to our drinking water supply.
North Shore, as a pilot project, earned about 29 points, and what is needed to earn certification is 32 points. And I think that, just for the record, I think we were a couple project requirements shy. So the purpose of the pilot project, we rated it as is. We didn't actually do, you know, there wasn't a way to pursue certification at the time. But then what did you do with that information after that, once the program got started?
Following going through the pilot project approach, I immediately began to pull out requirements that Green Roads had put upon the pilot project. And not so much put upon them, but the requirements that they were had within their specification. And I immediately identified ones that would be very useful to us just for our own project delivery. And that included being aware of how far away our materials that we were specifying were, or being aware of the eventual resting place of waste materials from the project site. So that translated into a couple of the credits, both regional materials or the project requirement, which is a waste management plan. So both elective credits and requirements, I began to see the benefit of looking at those through your project development. And so I went back and was able to, for instance, add in our general provisions the requirement for a waste management plan. We beefed up our noise mitigation requirements. We also took a look at our specifications and said, are we speccing materials that are from far-flung places? Wouldn't it be better to be aware of what aggregates and gradations are available at our local pits? And that took on sort of a new importance for me as I spec my future projects.
Okay, so maybe you can talk a little bit more about how a small or a large agency, so how does a public agency start getting in engaged with Green Roads? What's your best recommendation?
The first thing to do is just take a look at a Green Roads credit list and go down each one of the items and say to yourself, did I think about that when I did my last project? And you'll find that some items, environmental review, you'll say, of course I did. But you might find some other items where you think, you look at illumination, or you might look at the art component, and you say, well, I didn't really think about that. And that's why Green Roads is there. And if you take a look at that list, what I think a lot of agencies will find is, wow, man, we think about a lot of this stuff. Well, let's see what Green Roads wants us to do here. Or let's see what Green Roads thinks is more sustainable. And you'll find that you turn your hand on every project to most of the aspects that Green Roads covers. But do you really do everything that you can do? Do you really push the envelope of recycled materials? Do you take strategic risk as an agency to basically better equip yourself for the future by getting the experience of installing porous concrete or utilizing bioretention facilities or trying LED lights? And this is meant to walk you through it so you know what your risks are and you know why what you're doing is progressive but is the future.
Okay, so let's like back out a little bit, and thanks for all the details on that. And then also we talked a little bit about the types of projects that Bellingham does. So would you have any recommendations for people who are like you at other agencies that may be working on similar projects on what types of projects Green Roads would work for?
I don't think there's any limit by any means. I think the larger the project, the better. Your perfect project is the kind of that I've been talking about, which is the urban corridor sort of rebuild, if you will. And that is essentially taking a look at a road that's at the end of its useful life and realizing that, hey, let's do this road, but we'll update our illumination. Just keeping stuff current. That's the best type of project. I do think that some of the overlay projects out there probably would qualify. If you had a large sidewalk improvement project, you could probably do that as well. In Bellingham, we follow our water line replacement projects up with road enhancement. So all those begin to couple together into large scope projects. The Meter Kansas Ellis project covered almost, say, 80 or 90% of your standard right-of-way aspects. And I think if you even had the same project and cut it in half and had something that was $400,000, I think you could still do it. I think those would all be great projects. The smaller you get, the more you have to spend. I think there needs to be attention to detail, and you need to kind of keep a gauge on what you're doing and how that relates to the Green Road scoring.
So do you think that, is there any sort of specific value of having an independent organization like Green Roads work with you on some of this stuff? Is there something that adds to your overall process?
Well,
is that helpful as part of what you would tell the city and your city council? Do we have your back?
Well, Green Roads definitely has our back, and Green Roads has been great about bringing knowledge to council. And, you know, I don't know if every $5,000 gets you an automatic visit to your city council by Miss Geraldine Anderson. It probably should, but you might have to go to, you know, South Africa then at this point. But it's been very helpful to show that there's widespread, I don't want to say acceptance of sustainable transportation construction, but there is an acknowledgement within the industry, and Green Roads is just part of that, that we've got to do better and that we can do better and that there's a lot of things out there to be done. Green Roads kind of helps you identify the strategic risk that you're taking in certain areas because they provide the background for each credit. And you say, well, this is why it's a good idea. And you can say, well, you know, we've got approval downstairs to do the bare minimum from our planning department, but we're using Green Roads to take this to the next level. And it sort of shows you how, here's your benchmark, and then here's how you're pushing the envelope. It translates to more environmentally sound policy or projects, but it also translates really to keeping your materials local, which keeps your local economy thriving.
So I asked the independent question, actually, because there are a number of different rating systems now. So I was wondering if you might be able to talk a little bit about why you're choosing Green Roads. What do you think is, what are the features of it, and what maybe you would use something else for?
It is very simple for me why we're using Green Roads, and that's because it's transportation specific. I might find the odd water project, you know, water main replacement project, where, yeah, there's a bunch of other things. But really, when I do a water main replacement or a sewer main replacement, there's not a whole lot of stuff I'm going to do differently as far as making it more sustainable, because they're very simplified projects. You have a lot of governing regulations. Pipe is pipe. If it's recycled metal in the pipe, that's great, but that's really the industry that's driving it. That's not a rating system. So I wouldn't spend time with Green Roads to rate a sewer replacement project or a pump station necessarily. I think it really applies to transportation because that has such an impact on the public and on sort of the world around us because it's a surface improvement. So if I had other projects, maybe I would look for a rating system, but there's a lot of other design issues that are going to guide a water treatment plant upgrade or something like that.
How about at a large agency, like something like a big city, maybe if you have some perspective on that? How does a project engineer who is working on a project that has a great project in front of them get that to be approved to do certification?
Well, you know, I'm not super familiar with what type of politics may be involved. I think that on a larger level, you know, if you have a large project in an urban area, you're going to be able to show to your elected officials or to your superiors that it's a great fit. And that's really your starting point. I would pick out a couple of the key components where you want to push the envelope and show how Green Roads sort of serves as a vehicle to do that. At the same time, you can point to some of the project requirements and say, we do this already. So this isn't a top-heavy thing. We're not going to be mired in trying to come up with new things that we don't need to do. It's really, you can, I would say, take a look at the system and you'll be able to show that it really fits hand to glove what we public agencies are doing with the modern transportation projects.
Okay, so here's the big question then. Why would they do that? Why would they do Green Roads?
Well, we've used it a couple, you know, the way we've used it now, especially the Meter Kansas Ellis project, because we got Green Roads on early. We used it throughout the public outreach process, and it was great because the public was really able to rally around the certification system as hitting every different part of the road project. It would be easy for them to come in and say, why aren't you doing bike lanes? And with Green Roads, we can say, well, we are here, and this is the good reason why. And we're not over here, and this is the reason why. And it really it serves a bit more of a roadmap for them to understand why we're doing and what we're not doing. And they might ask us, well, I really think you should be doing some enhancement here. And we can say, well, we're doing a Green Roads project, so we're not going to hit the enhancement that you want here. But look, we are doing some progressive stormwater things over here.
Did you have a good or bad experience getting approval from your city council?
It was a great experience. City Council...
I'm sure that's the right answer.
It was. You were there. Well, you were there when we got the award, which was great.
That wasn't a leading question or anything.
when we brought it to our City Council, some of them were a bit nonplussed because they expect us to be pushing the envelope here in Bellingham. But more than that, the council was really supportive of it and likes to see that we're institutionalizing things a bit more. And they are representative of the public, so they generally have the same questions, the same concerns, and Green Roads really serves as sort of a simplified go-to where you can say, it's all here. Spend some time with the Green Roads document. Here's a website. Learn about how we're using this to make sure we do the right things on this project.
All right, what about interest in Green Roads in general?
Working with you guys, seeing you pass out your little jump drives, it seems like it's a startup, you know, reminiscent of the 90s and where the energy was just thick with, hey, we're going to change the world with the internet. And I think I see that there. It's not a large, lumbering beast of an organization. It's a quick, nimble, ninja-like organization, which is really what you need. The call has been made many a politician that the public sector has to do more with less, and we are trying, and I think Green Roads allows us to do that. It gives us a template for that, and that's not going to change until we got to get some more road funding. That gas
that, right?
Tax is kind of an animal to wrestle with.
So how did you get from North Shore to the first certified Green Road in the world?
So it was about 3 years difference between those projects, and so I had what I'd learned in the pilot project phase. And as I began scoping, and I suppose it would have been in early 2010, I began scoping another urban sort of corridor improvement, and it was immediately pretty obvious that it had all the parts. It crossed the main creek in town, so it did have its environmental concerns. It also was a major conduit for both bike and ped travel along an interurban corridor. So that was the basis of the project. But as with these urban projects, you begin to add things like illumination. And we found yet again an opportunity to use a new lighting standard, this time with LED lights. Not only that, we began to experiment with recycled materials and concrete, leading to the almost viral pottycrete term, which was the use of 400 crushed toilets as an alternate to virgin aggregate in some of the street flat work. I scoped that project all through 2010, was able to get Green Roads on a little earlier this time, which was greatly beneficial because I was able to really tee up all the information I had to put together much more efficiently and hopefully make both my lives and the poor folks at Green Roads' lives a little easier as well.
Can you tell us a little bit about that project? What was it called?
It was called it was called the Meter Kansas Ellis Trail, which was reflective of the corridor improvement, which was essentially providing this multi-use trail along with street improvements, and then these three different streets that it spanned through sort of the, it's not exactly the downtown core of Bellingham, but part of the urban center of Bellingham.
How much of that actually was changed or impacted by your choice to pursue certification? And or was it part of the project that you were going to do anyway?
By and large, the project scope, I feel, was not changed a whole lot by Green Roads, because again, all these aspects are things that every public works professional is going to deal with in one way or another. We'd elected to use porous concrete because of the stormwater credits that we get for just following standard regulation here in Western Washington.
And stormwater credits, just to clarify, means with the ecology department, not with
correct.
Green Roads.
Okay. Yeah, that is it. So it's credit. It's a credit against your modeling that you do to use porous concrete. So I don't think that we added or really changed anything because of the Green Roads certification.
How much? What was the budget of the project?
It was about $850,000.
Okay, so pretty small, less than $1 million.
Less than $1 million. Yep. And but I think again a perfect candidate. We used 30% recycled asphalt pavement in the HMA for the project. And that wasn't because Green Roads wanted it. It was because we had seen studies that it was possible and really wanted to try it on a few areas in the specific corridor so we could give it a shot. And again, these are just what agencies ought to be doing in the future to prepare yourself for higher binder prices, is to increase that amount that you can use that's recycled. But all of this just fits very well with what Green Roads is looking for, which shows that, you know, Green Roads is got their fingers on the pulse of the future of transportation. It occurred to me while doing Meter Kansas Ellis how commonplace that project was to projects that we do on a yearly basis. The North Shore Drive Improvement Project, that kind of had a few special components to it that we might not normally be considering. But when we're out there on Meter Kansas Ellis and we're doing stormwater stuff, we're doing illumination, we're doing new sidewalk, new HMA paving, there's no reason that we shouldn't be doing all these things on all of our projects. And so we're using Green Roads as the vehicle to provide that structure, because I can spend time with each one of our engineers and try to walk them through each design guideline. But with Green Roads, we can just take a look at, how did the project score? Why did it score well? Oh, it scored well in these areas. Are we going to make these standard specs? And that's what we did from the pilot project for a few areas, and I just want to see that carried on.
That's very great. So can you talk a little bit more about your experience with certification and, you know, on the paperwork side of things? Was it a struggle? Was it a big negotiation?
Well, I think, yeah.
How was your experience with our, you know, this is our customer service survey of the mm-hmm. year, right?
Well,
live, right for you.
I think that back when I talked to Steve originally, really that's what I wanted to do. Because I'd been in the public sector for a few years and was beginning to really understand what paperwork was all about. And I wanted to, and part of this was based on my experiences with LEED and what I had heard from some of the naysayers about LEED, which was complaints in the documentation and how it didn't work with what was being done in the public sector. So what I really wanted to do was support Green Roads' efforts to base their requirements on existing documentation to the greatest extent possible. And because of that, I think that it's very workable for the public agency. It's very simple to go ahead and take your final bid item tabulations and add a few columns in your spreadsheet and figure out, to what extent did you really use local materials, or to what extent did you use recycled materials? The documentation process for Meter Kansas Ellis was a great experience. It was certainly more rigorous than the pilot part of it, and I'm taking that experience to my next projects, and I think it will be even faster.
So do you think there was a learning curve for you in either part of it, so especially with the certification process? And I know you have a number for me on how many hours it took you, because everybody mm-hmm. wants to know.
It took about 80 hours of extra work, so that's about 2 weeks, so it's not horrible. And that was from start to finish. That was everything from the very initial submittal of documents all the way through to getting certification. So it's really, when you spread it over a project lifespan of about 2 years, it's pretty minimal.
So this is your first experience, took 80 hours. Mm-hmm. What about your next experience? Do you think it'll take less time?
I think for the next project, it'll take less time. The next project I'm looking on, the budget's going to be closer to $650. It's a slightly simpler scope as well. So I think that'll cut down on some of the work that I have to do. But ultimately, I've kept all my documentation so I can go back and reference it. I will be providing my colleagues some internal training as well, because there's some upper management desire to see us institutionalize this throughout the department. So things like the project requirements for environmental review, I think it's great the way Green Roads has basically said, let us see your SEPA checklist or other related documents, because that stuff is a no-brainer. We've already done all that work anyways.
So just kind of give a better perspective on how much time that took for you. How much time did you actually spend on actually designing the project, doing all that stuff, versus how much time you spent on Green Roads and trying to get this award?
Well, if you break it down, going from memory, when I look at doing the various permitting for this job, we did the survey and permitting and bridge design were done out of the house. So that was all standard engineering. Myself, I probably spent all up the equivalent of, let's see, 80. Oh, I don't know. I probably budgeted myself a little under 1,000 hours to do the whole project. And so, you know, the Green Road stuff at 80 was a pretty small percentage of that.
So just as a, you know, in 10 years, where do you think Green Roads is going to be?
Well, I think Green Roads in 10 years is going to be accelerating on the trajectory that they're already on, which is different countries, agencies of all sizes, projects of all sizes, and showing that it is that blueprint, that roadmap towards getting where you want to be. For me, I want to bring this knowledge of this and the key part that Green Roads is going to play to American Public Works Association. Because again, this is we are the overseers of the right of way, and we are the folks that really shape and mold the right of way based on what we can do in budget and what regulations look like. And so I want us to be using Green Roads to shape those projects in the future, to really have that the discernible impact on the industry that LEED has had for the construction industry. I want to be part of Green Roads. I want to be continually providing that input from the public sector as it evolves and naturally will become more robust and push the limits further than what it is now. And we'll probably always be lagging a little bit behind Green Roads, but we'll always be pushing that envelope, and Green Roads will be the carrot that's right there, and we'll continually be going for the green carrot.
So we need a new mascot. The green carrot. Green,
that's the great thing, is Green Roads is not a stick. It's a carrot, and it's a very well thought out carrot that sinks in amazingly well with an industry that has wide regulations from coast to coast and internationally, multiple unit systems, both metric and U.S. customary units, but it applies as well as it can to all those. And that's why I want to be part of Green Roads, because I want to try to help shape those credits so they work as well in Arkansas as they do in Washington, and just as well in Winnipeg.
Great. Thank you, Fritz.
Okay.